Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and thanks for joining us for the second half of our very first live remote broadcast today from Cup of Joe on the Cap in the Short North. We're celebrating this Short North today on All Sides with Ann Fisher. Tonight at 8 p.m., WOSU Public Media will premiere the first of a six-part documentary series, Columbus Neighborhoods, the Short North. We're here today to learn more about the neighborhood itself. Joining me today, well, I guess the question is, what would the Short North be without artists and the people who support them? Since the redevelopment of the neighborhood kicked in the 1980s, a lot has changed about the area. I moved here in 1989, and just since then, a lot has changed. It's called Short North because it's the area short of the OSU campus and north of downtown, which is something I learned from the documentary. Mm-hmm. But the vision of the Short North as a bastion of art and arty, as a bastion of the art and the arty, has endured when a lot of other things have changed. And joining us today to talk about that journey is Judy Hoberg. She's a founding member and manager of Studios on High Gallery. I say member because the studio is an artist collective. It's founded in 1985. It is Columbus's oldest artist-owned and operated gallery. In other words, Judy was there for the first gallery hop 25 years ago. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also joining me today in a little while to talk about the vision and the reality and maybe a bit of the future is Jackie Mahan, owner of the Mahan Gallery in the Short North. She opened it about 2 years ago.
6 years ago.
Was it six? The latest one then, the latest
Our
incarnation.
Our newest location is about 2.5 years.
Okay.
But originally we opened in 2003.
Okay.
Next to Bodega.
I'm sorry. Next to
I forgive
Bodega.
You. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Still
okay.
Love you.
All right. We're going to move right on. And I love it when people correct me immediately. Let that be a lesson to the public. And also, finally, later on, we're going to get a little bit more of an overview about what the arts can mean to a community. It's with one of my favorite observers of all things Columbus, ColumbusUnderground.com founder and blogger, Walker Evans.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Thanks for being here. Judy, you opened, you and the crew back in the day, opened Studios on High 25 years ago, back when most of the storefronts had taken on and embraced that sort of gray, burned around the edges.
Boarded up.
Boarded up. I forgot. Boarded up. Appeal of a neighborhood in decline. What possessed you?
Actually, Ruth Lance and Marsha Armstrong started an open studio at the location we're in. It was called Lance Armstrong Studios. And within a year, I replaced Marsha Armstrong because Sandy Wood strong-armed me, actually.
He said he begged.
He did. And offered. I was looking for a place to join with artists, to make a partnership with other artists. I had been working in my basement for years, the dankness of my basement, doing laundry in between, making my clay pieces. And I wanted to invite some other artists to join in some sort of a cooperative store and still continue to have my studio somewhere else. Well, Ruth Lance's partner was going to leave after the first year of opening the studios, and Sandy knew of this opening and mentioned it to me and suggested I stop by and meet Ruth. And I was hesitant. I didn't want to move my entire studio into the public eye, but there was no choice because of the size of the space that was open. That would have been my choice. So I walked in and into this gorgeous, warm building with wood floors and the brick walls, big windows, lots of light. There was no question. I was leaving my basement, and I was never going back. So, and then I met Ruth, and it was... We began a wonderful partnership, and we were joined by Bonnie Valentine, and the three of us really launched Studios on High as an artist collective. We all had our studios within the building, so we spent all day there making our pieces, creating our pieces, and inviting the public in. Wasn't a lot of public around at that point. There were some thriving businesses in the Short North, but they weren't really legal businesses. I'd like to mention that my first day, I parked in what was called the Moonscape, which has a wonderful condominium on it.
That's right.
And I came back, and there was a business card on my windshield, and I thought, well, how nice, a little welcome to the neighborhood. And it was from a very organized group of Ladies of the Night. And it said, I know what you want. And I thought, I seriously doubt it. I'll put it away. And then that was the competition at that time. So,
what else was here when you opened up?
Maria PM Gallery was here, Doug Ritchie, who ran an eclectic shop, I would say, Spangler Cummins, was here. Spangler was in the same building that we were, one of Sandy Wood's buildings, the Carriage House, and Kent Rigsby opened up the same year that Ruth Lance started. And soon to follow, we had Sherry Hawk come in with Hawk Galleries, Riley Hawk Galleries. So we banded together just because we were all so excited and so energized by the new possibilities. The Gallery Hop had started 25 years ago this past year, and it attracted people who had never thought they'd set foot in this area because it was a scary area, particularly at night. But once they came down and they saw what was happening here, they wanted to come back again and again and bring friends. And they felt safe. And they realized they could come during the daytime and feel safe and support mm-hmm. some of the galleries that had started out.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. We are talking about the Short North today. We are talking live in our first live remote broadcast from the Cup of Joe on the Cap in the Short North. Tonight at 8 p.m., WOSU Public Media premieres the first of a six-part documentary series, Columbus Neighborhoods, the Short North. And we're here to talk about the arts influence on the Short North and, I guess, vicariously, on the entire city. I mean, there was nothing else like this in the entire city.
There was no concentration. There were some galleries scattered here and there. But if you were, as a visitor, wanted to come and find art in Columbus, you would have to really spend a lot of time moving around the city. But we used to say that Columbus was a great place to live, but I wouldn't want to visit here. But now it's a great place to visit, too.
And live.
And live. It's always been a great place to live.
When did, for you, when did things start to change?
One of the difficult parts about our area was we were separated from downtown by the bridge over 670. And that really...
Separated in the sense that it was this big, long gap.
Physically. Right. There was a very long, lonely bridge that really wasn't lit that well. And if you wanted to come from downtown into the Short North, you felt like you were entering some sort of threatening little tunnel there. But I think the turnaround started rather slowly with the convention center being built. We always had the Gallery Hop going for us. That was our lifeline. But as far as the casual visitor to the city to discover us, the convention center started that.
Now the Gallery Hop, for those among us who don't know what that is, how did it start in the first place?
Spangler Cummins and Maria Galloway of PM Gallery. And Doug Ritchie, and maybe, I don't know who else I might be forgetting, but just five, six businesses opened up and served wine and cheese and invited their friends to come in. And so the first one started out rather small, but then their friends told other friends, and it kept growing. And then the other businesses in the area thought, this is a train I want to get on. So they started showing art in some of their businesses that were really unrelated to art, but they began to look at themselves a little differently as a place where they could offer art. And so it just kept growing and growing and growing. And now we just open our doors and we have thousands of people come through on the first Saturday of every month. The city shut us down on that. Turns out we found out after years of serving it that you really have to have a license to do that. So it has to be a private party.
Is it still fun?
It is wonderful fun. Now, part of the fun for me is at Studios on High, we have this unique setup of 18 artists that have formed a community. Artists tend to work in isolation. And the fact that we can connect with each other and be energized about our own community and what we have to offer the public makes it fun. And every time someone walks through our door, they get to meet at least two of the artists and also see them creating their pieces. So we have within our gallery such a creative atmosphere going on that there's always, I look forward to coming in every day.
I think of artists working in isolation, and so when I go in there, I always feel like I'm bugging them.
Oh, not at all. We want you to come in. No, that just said, we get so much from our customers and visitors. We get such a reflection on what we're doing. Mostly good. Sometimes you want to remind people, hey, the artists are sitting here. Please don't say that. Because people feel so comfortable in the atmosphere that they just have a conversation. So we just get wonderful, positive energy for that kind of an offering.
Did you ever think it'd come to this?
By this, you mean...
The Short North.
Oh, the success of the area. There were times I wondered. It took longer than I would have thought. And the economy had something to do with it. We had a period of time when the bridge across High Street was closed for 2 years. That was a real struggle for the...
That was when they were constructing the cap.
Yeah, so they sort of diverted around a block or so. But the city was always behind developing the area. They were willing to give loans to gallery owners and business owners. And they really have always supported it and seen what it can do for the city.
We're going to take a short break. But first, I want to remind you that we are... celebrating the Short North today on All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're doing it with our first live remote broadcast from Cup of Joe on the Cap in the Short North. My guests, you were just listening to Judy Hoberg. She is one of the founding members of Studios on High Gallery. Joining us after the break will be Jackie Mahan, owner of the Mahan Gallery, which she opened 6 years ago.
That's right.
Getting it right now. And then finally, also joining us is a ColumbusUnderground.com founder and blogger Walker Evans, just to kind of talk about in general what the arts mean to Columbus, what the art means to any big city trying to be as healthy as possible and as happy as possible. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Stay tuned for our first live broadcast today on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820.
And this is WOSU 820 NPR News. WOSU Public Media and State Auto Insurance present Columbus Neighborhoods. See the premiere of this highly anticipated documentary that tells the story of one of our city's most vibrant and exciting neighborhoods, the Short North. Watch Columbus Neighborhoods, the Short North, tonight at 8, only on WOSU TV. And you can get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Go to wosu.org/email and sign up for one of WOSU's e-newsletters.
Support for WOSU comes from Thurber House, presenting Evenings with Authors guest award-winning author Carol Goodman, reading from her latest novel, Arcadia Falls, Monday evening, March 15th at the Columbus School for Girls. Tickets at thurberhouse.org.
47 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high of 53. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are broadcasting live from the Cup of Joe on the Cap in the Short North. By accident, we were talking about the Short North today in anticipation of the premiere tonight of WOSU Public Media's six-part series, the first segment of a six-part documentary series. It's called Columbus Neighborhoods, the Short North. They're putting that together in celebration of Columbus's bicentennial coming up in 2012. It's right around the corner. The first segment is on the Short North, and that's why we're here today. Joining us today in Cup of Joe is Judy Hoberg. She is one of the founders of the Artist Collective Studios on High, and also Jackie Mahan. She's a gallery owner in the Short North as well, and Walker Evans, blogger and Columbus Underground founder, ColumbusUnderground.com founder. Thanks for being here. Jackie, you were living in Boston when you sort of had this epiphany that you wanted to be a gallery
owner. I was in front
of
a McDonald's, actually.
Of course, it does. It's
right next to
Fenway. All of us that way, yeah.
I was walking home from college, and I realized I don't want to be a visual artist. I want to own a gallery. And so literally from that, oh no, I'm sorry, it was a Burger King. It was a Burger King. From that point on, I just started curating shows, and I was a part of the student galleries, and I just tried to, you know, suck up as much information as I could about it, because I knew that's what I wanted to do.
How did it occur to you to go home again to Columbus?
I'd like to say, oh, I just had to go home, but, you know, I graduated college, I was looking around, and I just thought, I'm not doing anything productive, and I've been raised to be a very productive individual, so I left, and I came home for about a month, and I was talking to my parents and just said, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I want to open an art gallery. And they said, well, go get a job at an art gallery. And I said, well, no, I want to open one. I don't want to push a broom. I want to open a gallery. And I said, you know, before you, instead of, you know, waiting until you die, maybe you could just give me some money now, like some seed money, and I could really try to grow this business. And if I don't do it, I don't do it. And, you know, they were totally supportive. And I opened the gallery when I was 22, way younger than I probably should have been. And but it worked out.
So 6 years later now, that's 6 years ago, things are doing pretty good. Was the Short North the obvious choice?
I looked everywhere, but it was the Arts District. I just moved to the Short North, and I wanted to be here. It has a good vibe. There's a huge community here. They support the arts. They're risk takers, and they embrace young people with a lot of energy. And so I knew that this was the spot that I need to be.
Yeah, there is a vibe about it. Has it changed at all over the last 6 years?
No, I don't think so. I think everything evolves. I think the spirit of the Short North will continue to be the same, in embracing of small businesses. But, you know, we have to roll with the times as well, and I think it's a work in progress.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about the kind of the downside of becoming successful, you know, victim of your own success, which in this case means that rents become more expensive. Bars and restaurants generate the kind of revenue, the more guaranteed revenue. A gallery is different. It's not necessarily the same sort of profit margin and that sort of thing. And that's sort of a problem when a vision like the Short North is realized. How do you feel about that? Do you think that it's going to endure?
I think the landlords here, I disagree. I think you have to work and you have to find the right landlord for, you know, for your needs. But the first landlord I had, you know, he was an old fuddy-duddy, and he taught me a lot about how to negotiate, how to take care of a property. And he gave it to me for cheap because I told him that I may not be able to pay $3,000 a month, but I can pay $1,000 a month, and I can pay it every month. Like, I'm not going to take off on you. And so it's a matter of getting a relationship with these people. And the spaces are still here. People are, you know, oh, it's not, Short North is over. It's a bunch of corporate restaurants. It's not true. You can find a space. You can find a great landlord, and you can thrive. Absolutely.
It doesn't feel corporate, I wouldn't say, but there's a lot more bars and restaurants.
It's intimidating. It's definitely intimidating for small businesses. I'm not saying that I'm not intimidated by the amount of restaurants opening up, but there are galleries still here, and there's some really wonderful retail, so.
Yeah, there was probably a point, Judy, where you're like, yay, restaurants and bars are moving in. Do you still feel that way?
I do. I think we all help to make the area a place worth visiting. And I know that the galleries get a lot of support from our patrons. I think particularly in this economy where anything you want to see here next year or the coming year, you have to stand behind. You have to support them and us now. And our patrons are really doing that.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
we're having
very loyal.
Columbus, Ohio is a very loyal city, and I think that they're grateful for the people that are opening businesses and people that are, you know, making the commitment to stay here and help build the city, and I'm one of them, definitely.
We have an email from Carol. She says, I feel like there are more restaurants and art galleries now. Do your guests agree? Is that really the case?
Well, they're definitely more than there were to begin with. When I first moved in, there were 9 restaurants in the area, and they were not all ones you'd want to go into at night. I think now when you look at the surrounding area, we're talking 60 plus. I'm not exactly sure of the number, but I counted up one time, if you count all the bars and incidentals. But our galleries are growing, too. A unique store in the Short North also is featuring art.
Lots of boutiques.
It's not just the established galleries that fit the old form, but there are galleries in every establishment because they have displayed art. They have a mindset of creativity and uniqueness that makes it worth visiting. But we have more galleries than we've had since I've been in the area, which was the start of the area.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about the Short North Arts District, talking about the arts, with Judy Hoburn and Jackie Mahan and also Walker Evans. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at WOSU at allsides@wosu.org. And we have a call now from State Representative Dan Stewart. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Hey, this is a great program, and I'm certainly proud to represent the Short North Victorian Village area. And I've been part of that history when I first moved into the Short North area back in the 70s. Obviously, it's changed a great, great deal. And I helped found the Shortstop Teen Center and was part of Doodah at its beginning. But I agree, and I've often said myself, that sometimes we are a victim of our own success. I've had friends that have gone out of business in the art or gift store area because of the cost, and we have to be careful as we develop. You know, when they did the Victorian Gate, it certainly was an improvement over the old Moonscape lot that we used to call it, the junk parking lot. But I believe it was 0.7 parking that they created when they did that, which creates a bit of a parking mess. So we have to, you know, when we do development down there, the city has to sort of think about, you know, each step, how that impacts the rest of the community. And I think it's important that we take that into consideration as we move forward. But the great thing about the Short North is its people, and it does reinvent itself from time to time. And I think it's a great thing that it is a metamorphosis, that it keeps growing and changing and adapts. But we want to be careful as we move forward that we do it in a sustainable way, so that it is that holistic approach of galleries and small businesses, not just restaurants and bars and things like that.
Yeah, I wonder how you sustain that particular alchemy, because it is something kind of, diaphanous. You can't put your finger on it, but what is it about it? Walker, what do you think will sustain the Short North past this success, this kind of nadir? Hopefully it's not a nadir, but...
Well, I think, you know, when it started out and had such a high concentration of galleries, it was, you know, as it was pointed out earlier, it was a mixed-use neighborhood back in the day. And I think as the Short North has grown geographically and grown northward up to Fifth Avenue, we're seeing almost the restaurants and bars kind of catching up to kind of meet that need for what's really truly become a mixed-use neighborhood. So I think, you know, organically, kind of the market forces are going to produce something that's sustainable in the long term. I don't know how much you can really inject a specific vision into that sort of thing, but I mean, I agree with what Jackie said before. It's still very arts focused and art friendly, and you know, I think we're all better off for it.
I know you do. You look around the country and you compare. You kind of contrast Columbus when you can and when it makes sense. How is it holding up?
Columbus in general,
yes. In terms of the rest of the country, and I guess we're the 15th largest city in the country.
I think we have a fairly diverse economy and a diverse set of neighborhoods. So I think we've weathered the storm pretty well. Columbus continues to grow, especially when you look at all of our kind of Midwest counterparts, especially, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, cities like that. I think we're doing really well.
Too. Sure, Dan. I think that the diversity that they talk about is so important. It goes back to Richard North's book of 20 years ago of the creative class. I would go as far as to say is that the Short North has helped the entire community of Central Ohio by, you know, emphasizing and building on that creative class. And it certainly made a difference, I think, as a whole to the community. So, and I hope folks will watch the program tonight. I know a lot of us will be at the Short North as we watch that premiere locally. So I thank everybody for all the great work they do.
There are free, I don't know what you call them, but there are parties all over the Short North, places to go watch them. I think the Surly Girl Saloon, the Short North Tavern, you know, anyone else has any other ideas they want to pass along, let me know. We're talking about the premiere of the WOSU Public Media's new 6-part documentary series, the first segment, Columbus Neighborhoods, the Short North. And we're talking about the Short North and its reputation as an arts district. Jackie and my guests are Jackie Mahan. She's a gallery owner in the district. Jackie, how do you keep it fresh?
I think it's just progressive thinking, always thinking outside of the box, but also having a certain level of humility where you don't take yourself too seriously, because once you start thinking that you're, you know, something really special, someone will walk around and really show you that you're not, and I really appreciate that about Columbus. I think taking chances, bringing artwork into the city that maybe no one would see before, giving a platform to a local artist who's, you know, can't afford to live in the big cities, and you can show them that we really appreciate you're here. What you're doing is really important. And I remember being in Boston, and the best show you could get a person my age would be the bathroom at a coffee shop on Newberry Street was probably the best place you could be shown. And I was so upset about that. So when I moved back, I said, I'm going to find a place where I can showcase artwork legitimately for emerging artists, which is just another word for young artists. And I grew my business with that, and then we grew to showing mid-career, very well-established artists. And people take notice, and they start contacting you. So I just think to keep an open mind, but to have your eye on the prize, you know, to know what you're doing, what you're there for.
I was at a gallery in New Orleans a year ago last summer, and yeah, they had Monets and all kinds of, yeah. You know, it was a museum quality. And I was walking around, and this, you know, one of the curators was walking with me, explaining. I didn't know if he was like trailing me to make sure I didn't dig out with a picture.
Sneeze on it.
Yeah, I did sneeze it or something. But I finally said, he was giving me explanations for all the pictures, and I said, "Yo, this is really nice that you're doing this, but I'm not going to buy anything." He goes, "Darling, nobody does. We don't deal with people who walk in the front door. We don't, you know, our business, you know, is international." I went, "Oh." How much of that walk through the front door business is there in Columbus?
A little bit of both, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have I sell artwork, a gallery, half to people walking in and buying a painting off a wall, or they'll come in and say, you know, go through the inventory room and pick out stuff. For me, it's probably 50-50.
How about you, Judy?
Well, I've seen a huge change in the confidence of the Columbus buyer. It used to be when we started out that people buying art felt they had to do it in New York or Chicago. But the confidence of the art buyer has grown tremendously in their confidence in Columbus area art and in regional art. I think the whole city's confidence has grown. We used to accept the Cowtown label. And I think the Short North helped to say, hey, we can be something better than this. And we are something better than this. And the whole city bought into that. We really are a very interesting town. When we have people come through our door from out of the city, and we have about 50% of our business from the convention center and visitors, they are so pleasantly surprised at Columbus, and particularly the Short North. They want to see a place with history, not a recreation of something that's just storefronts. They want to see a place that's rich with history and experiences they want.
Another thing I wanted to point out about galleries, if we're talking about art, in my experience being here, each art gallery has a personality like everyone, every human being. Mm-hmm. And they're, if we were all the same, it would be really boring. And just from experience, I can walk into each gallery and you can feel the vibe of what the personality of the artist and of the gallery owners, and I think that's really important to show the individuality of the Short North, but we all really support each other.
Mm-hmm. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, and I forgot that I'm live in the Cup of Joe's and on the Cap in the Short North, and we have an audience, so if anybody would like to join the conversation from the audience, please do. Just go up to the microphone and be glad to take your call. Also, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Joining me in the Cup of Joe in the Short North is Walker Evans. He's a blogger and founder of ColumbusUnderground.com. Walker, the Short North has been, or I guess Columbus, has been tagged as the indie arts capital of the world. Mm-hmm. Some people think that's awful pretentious, and you've defended it before.
I have. I think the original kind of statement was born out of the whole identity crisis that Columbus faces from time to time, and so I can understand why people want to establish a label and kind of work to grow into that label, even if we're not necessarily at that point just yet. So, I commend the people for trying to kind of take an initiative at a grassroots level This was born out of a couple artists and business owners that kind of started that vision. It's kind of stagnated a little bit. It hasn't. I don't think it's as grown as quickly as it originally was planned. But I mean, you know, I commend anyone, you know, with any kind of effort to try things like that.
Judy, what did you think
of
Indie Arts Capital of the World?
I'm one of the old artists, and I'm thrilled to see new identities coming to the city, particularly along the lines of the art. I think people need to be reminded that Columbus is full of energy, a lot of new ideas that are setting examples for people across the United States. I mean, the indie art movement is alive, well, and flourishing in the city.
We have an email from Sarah. It's a little, I guess, a day late, dollar short, but she wanted to ask Representative Stewart whether the city can close High Street for the gallery hop. She writes, I think it would be safer and draw more people to walk around and hang out if there was more space. And I guess, Judy, I mean, you could probably speak to that. Has it ever been discussed?
Oh, it's been discussed a lot. We've talked about it. The safety issue is always there, and the expense issue of hiring security. But I think there's a lot to be said for being crushed into the sidewalk together, and the sense of excitement rubbing shoulder to shoulder with somebody in a very accountant-type business suit, and next to them is someone in orange spiked hair, you know,
that.
And I think that just makes it so much fun. So if you have too much space, we probably would fill it, but I think you'd lose that intimate quality that we have for Gallery Hop.
I'll just throw it out there. I think a solution would be to build a parking garage. It would be amazing. It would help so much with pedestrian traffic and getting people here, so... Anyone listening, you can build a parking garage anytime you want.
Actually, I just remembered I need to put a quarter
in the meter.
I check on that.
I think that closing off the High Street during Gallery Hop is definitely a great idea, and I'd love to see it happen maybe in one of the summer months where, you know, the foot traffic is expected to be heavier than, you know, maybe the February Gallery Hop. But I've helped with the planning of the Highball Halloween that the SMBA has put on for the past 2 years. And we've closed off High Street for that event. Mm-hmm. Granted, it was about 2 blocks worth of High Street or 3 blocks worth of High Street. We had no trouble filling up the street with patrons, and everyone seemed to really enjoy kind of being out in the street under the arches and, you know, out in the open air. So, I mean, I'd love to see the idea at least experimented with.
But, you know, even with that, it doesn't address the parking problem.
Right.
There's definitely a
critical
parking problem.
Yeah.
I think that they'll it'll get taken care of, but I just envision a parking garage would just be fantastic, because then it would eliminate, you know, so much anxiety and the troubles with the valets and running out to put coins in your meter. That would be great.
I have to say, though, when I look around the area, there is a lot of parking available, but you may have to walk like you do in a real big city, several blocks to find it. And the great thing about that is on the way to your destination, you're going to discover a lot of interesting shops along the way. So there's plenty of parking out there.
Yeah, Gallery Hop is nothing if it's not a pedestrian sport.
That's
We're going to have to take a short break. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live from Cup of Joe on the Cap in the Short North, and we're talking about the new Columbus Neighborhoods documentary. It's called Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North. It's going to premiere tonight at 8 p.m. on WOSU television. Give that check that out. You might want to tune in a little bit earlier, and they can tell you how to interact with the project on columbusneighborhoods.org. We're going to take a quick break right now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we meet professor, writer, and former dominatrix, Melissa Phoebos.
People are actually surprised. I did another interview recently where the interviewer asked me where my favorite boutiques for shopping for equipment were, and actually Home Depot was one of my favorite outlets.
Her new memoir is Whip Smart. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. WOSU Public Media and State Auto Insurance present Columbus Neighborhoods. See the premiere of this highly anticipated documentary that tells the story of one of our city's most vibrant and exciting neighborhoods, the Short North. Transformed from a rundown, forgotten neighborhood into Columbus's Center for Arts and Culture, take a fresh look at one of Columbus's great neighborhoods. Watch Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North, tonight at 8, only on WOSU-TV.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
47 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high of 53. A few clouds tonight and a low of 34. More sunshine tomorrow, a high of 58. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and thanks for joining us for our very first live remote broadcast. We're talking about the arts in the Short North, and it is in celebration of the Short North neighborhood of Columbus. Tonight, WOSU Public Media will premiere the first of its six-part documentary series, Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North. So you want to tune into that tonight at about 7:30 for the pre-show. There's all kinds of information and ways that you can learn and you can participate in this project. It's a project that will go through into 2012, and it will cover six different neighborhoods, including the Short North, now, tonight. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Jerry, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Fisher and guests. Since art is a, since furniture making is, I've always considered an art, I'm looking at a beautiful bookcase that I bought from a furniture store on the west side of North High, I don't know how many years ago, probably 25 or 30 years ago, called Functional Furnishings. Yeah. Don't know if any of your guests remember that or if that is still in town.
I remember that, and you're kind of groovy, Jerry. That was a cool place.
Well, I don't go for this early American stuff that these young 20, 30, or 40 years olds go for. I like to keep it.
I like Jerry.
I like Jerry, too.
Is that out of business?
I think it was a victim of the bridge closing. Unfortunately, when the bridge was closed for that long period of time, traffic was diverted from around the front of Functional Furnishings and then picked back up north of Functional Furnishings.
Because Functional Furnishings was right before the bridge.
Actually, I knew the owner, and I'm going to forget his name now. I used to DJ at Functional Furnishings during Gallery Hop, kind of in their last year or two.
The Yukon building.
It was in the Yukon building, kind of right across the street. And he actually, he had run the business for 20, 25 years, mm-hmm. and he kind of got to the point where he was ready to cash out, and they had a condo developer that wanted to buy the building. So he, I don't think he was really a victim of anything more. Or just,
it's just the
kind of,
timing worked for him.
It didn't help.
I think he made quite a good deal on his investment, kind of cashing out at the right time.
Because he owned the building.
Yeah, he owned the entire building. Yeah.
And you were a DJ before, huh?
I used to DJ there from time to time.
It was a great spot.
Is there hello?
Yeah.
Is that Porcelain Palace still open on in the Short North, a couple blocks south of Fifth?
Was it actually called the Porcelain Palace?
Oh, is he talking about White Castle?
Oh, White Castle.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
No wiseacres on the show.
Years, Ms. Fisher, you're not familiar with that.
It's alive and well.
Okay, I'm not even going to talk about that.
They actually remodeled the inside of it not too long ago.
Okay.
Great, okay.
Only walk.
Yes.
No.
thank you kindly. By the way, I hope you do something on the hilltop.
I agree, Jerry.
I think they're doing downtown in Franklinton. So,
Does anybody remember the old restaurant on the hilltop? I think it was a Belvedere.
Am I seeing any nods from the audience? No.
No?
You're all alone, Jerry.
They had the best salmon patties on Fridays you could ever imagine. And believe it or not, they had a sandwich called the Betsy Ross, which was roast beef and peanut butter.
You know what, Jerry?
Wrapped in a flag.
I don't know if you have the internet at home, but if you don't, you can go to the library. You can go to columbusneighborhoods.org. And part of that website is interactive, and they want to hear from people, and they want to hear their stories, any old story from any part of Columbus. Everyone's an expert on Columbus is the idea of that. And you should get on the internet and go tell your stories about those salmon patties. Okay?
They were great. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for calling. We have an email from Donna. She writes, do you think this documentary, Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North, will impact the economy of the Short North? Now, you've all seen it, right?
I haven't.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet.
Just the trailer.
Yeah, I saw the preview. So I think it will. I think it will pull a lot of interest to the area because people will realize it's just fun to visit and see the actual buildings here and know more about the history. I mean, it'll really connect them to the uniqueness of the area.
Can't hurt.
No, yeah. It can't.
I mean, as busy as Gallery Hop is and as well as the Short North is doing, I think Columbus has such a transient population sometimes that there are still people who have never experienced that. So, I mean, I think it's a great way, you know, visually to connect with the area, see some video mm-hmm. footage, hear the stories, and then maybe inspire them to come down and spend some time.
Yeah, it's a great mental bridge from the history of the community to where it's at right now. And, you know, depending on what you're interested in, it kind of feeds all sorts of souls, you know, that way,
it
I
really
thought.
It really does.
Now that the lights work on the arches.
Yay.
I love the arches, by the way. But what could make the Short North better? Jackie.
Me. Am I on the spot?
You're nearest to me.
Oh, my gosh. I just, like, draw a blank. I know I've just been like, I would like the parking. Well,
anyone can join in and save Jackie. So.
No, you can save me, but, I mean, the parking would be great to have.
Where would you put
a
parking garage?
I mean, I'm going to sound like a destructive person, but I would love to just, you know, a property that is falling apart, push it down and build something to encourage more people to come here. Yeah, like someone save me.
there have been two parking garage proposals on
really?
The table. Yeah.
Love it.
One was built into the Ibiza condo, now apartment building. There was, I think, a 250-space public garage in addition to the residential parking for that. And then the other piece is actually about a block north of here, the parking lot next to, Bernard's now, kind of between Utrecht. They're talking about building the 15-story hotel building, and there would be public parking component for that as well. So, I mean, those are, you know, 3-4 years down the line, but I think combined it was maybe around 500 spaces.
I think a gallery hop tour would be cool, or a gallery tour that people from other communities could come in and sign up for and get a tour of the galleries, get a tour of the retail, and maybe go grab a drink or grab some food at a local place. That would be great.
And the Short North Business Association is really working on ideas like that.
Yeah, they are.
They have done so much for the area. I just can't tell you how much they've meant to our staying in business all these years. But they are working on tours and connecting us with a convention center to sign up for visiting conventions, to have that option of coming to the Short North tours and utilizing our spaces for some of their small events, cocktail parties and that type of thing. But I think the best thing for improving the area would improve that connection with the Convention Bureau or Convention Center. I would say over 50% of our business now is coming from the Convention Center.
What has been the biggest change? Is the cap epic in the change that it made?
Huge. People are attracted to walk down.
Are you finding more conventioner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a real turning point for our business, definitely.
I think that there's pros and cons, though, to the cap. The pro is there's lots of people coming in, but the con is the rent and a lot of the places are so high that local businesses that would usually be able to thrive in this area aren't able to afford, or they've opened up and they've had to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a double-edged sword, if we're being honest.
And part of that is that about the time the cap opened, we were followed by a really bad economy.
Yeah.
So there were businesses that had great ideas and just couldn't sustain themselves because they didn't have an established audience. So hopefully they'll give it another try as the economy continues to improve.
Yes. Have you noticed the economy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exclamation point. It's been different, but you have to adjust. So we are working with local artists more. We're lowering the price points and taking chances on more unknown artists. And it's really been paying off. So I just think you have to constantly be thinking ahead about how to keep keep going. If you keep sticking with the same routine, it's going to become boring and you're going to be out of here. You got to evolve.
I've loved the creativity it's forced on our gallery. We have a great PR committee that has challenged us to find different ways of getting our name out. We don't have the money for big publicity or advertising, but we sure can keep offering unique opportunities and events that make people want to come down and see what's happening this month at our gallery, but also in the entire area. That's what the SMBA has done for us, I think.
We have a few more minutes left, and I am just temporarily, and we are reconnecting. But if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, and we'll make it work somehow. My trusty Kevin Petrilla is here working on that right now. Walker, the whole arts scene kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Couldn't Columbus be a great city without it?
Probably not.
What is it about the art? The arts. What is that about it? What makes it cooler?
I think there's a lot of direct interaction for people who are interested in going out and experiencing that culture and being inspired. You know, whether it's the performing arts or visual arts or any other sort of offshoot of that. But I think people take for granted sometimes the indirect impacts that it can have, mm-hmm. either on a neighborhood or on an area. When you look at the visitors to the gallery hop these days, a lot of people come down for people watching, for restaurant hopping, for bar hopping, that sort of thing. Even if they're not there specifically to take in the arts, they're still benefiting from that culture and everything that's kind of built upon that 25 years. So, I think Columbus would be a much different city if it weren't for our strong kind of rich arts culture.
What's next? Where's the next neighborhood? There has to be a next.
Old Town East, I think. I live in German Village, and that's where I like to go and check out art and try the new restaurants. And I'm still kind of hesitant to go down there, but I'm definitely, I think that's where the next really great neighborhood's going to be.
And that will be one of the neighborhoods that is highlighted or profiled in the six-part series, Columbus Neighborhoods. What do you think, Walker?
I don't know if there's going to be a specific, regionally recognized arts district. We were actually just having this conversation on Columbus Underground like 5 minutes ago. I think the arts are going to play.
I swear I wasn't listening. Good.
I think the arts are going to play a role in kind of the revitalization of multiple neighborhoods. I mean, you do have things kind of along the Parsons Avenue corridor in Old Town East. There's some things in the King Lincoln District where I live. There's the Franklinton Arts District in Franklinton on kind of the near west side. So I think you're seeing these groups kind of spreading themselves out around the town, but I don't think anyone is going to really recreate specifically what the Short North did 25 years ago. I mean, for better or for worse.
Yeah. What do you think, Judy?
I'm kind of excited about the new Wonderland. I don't know, that won't be a district in itself, but it is revitalizing the old Wonder Bread factory that possibly being developed for art studios and that type of thing. I think it'll add to the richness of our neighborhood. It's very close by, but also create its own area around it where artists can come and have studios and just another place where there's energy and a good mix of the
arts. And
they're
going to keep the Wonder Bread sign, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a call. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi. I've lived in the area since 1988. I've had my business down here for 18 years. And I think Jacqueline's right. I think the big problem is parking. And I think the city hurts a lot of things down here because I don't know how many times I've had my car towed and ticketed. And when they have special events, I thought when they very first started the gallery hop that you could park and the ticket people weren't out. But it's the city, it was really a big deterrent because they seem to discourage people from coming down just because of the tow truck drivers and the ticketing situation.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting really stressed out because my
speaking of which,
go get your $40 ticket off your car.
Put money in that meter, yeah. Mark. You're stressing me out. You just reminded me. So what would the city do differently, Mark?
Well, I think go back, if they did, I can't remember, but go back to where on special events that they didn't have to ticket people out, make the meters more consistent. I mean, they tried to jack the prices up higher than anybody in the East Coast, I think, if you per minute-wise. And the city just seems to discourage people. I mean, I live down here, and I won't go to the arena district unless I can walk because I've been down there twice and had tickets. One time I had 3 minutes left of my meter, and I got a ticket. Other time I was there late on Christmas Eve, I got a ticket. I didn't realize that certain meters are certain hours. So I won't go down, and I live down here, and I won't go down to the arena district much because, and I think the Short North is the same way. Why would somebody come here if they can go to East and park for free and not be harassed? And the city just harasses people down here. Like I said, I have campus apartments. I live down here, and I have my business down here. And between the tow truck drivers and the city, they just harass people to death.
I just wish that they would put a light on the issue a little more. I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst thing on earth. It's certainly not. There's plenty of spots. But it would be something that would really enrich this neighborhood and bring more people that wouldn't traditionally come here to get here. That would be wonderful to just get, you know, a family from 20 minutes away to come in here and feel comfortable enough. And then we have a panhandler issue as well sometimes where people get scared off. My mother, you know, grandmother, they're going to get scared if someone's approaching them. So it would be wonderful.
Thank you, Mark, for your call.
Thank you.
Well, we're running out of time. I just want to make sure before we do that I thank my guest, Judy Hoberg, artist.
Thank you.
Whimsical animal sculptor.
Right.
And founder of galleries.
Studios on High Gallery.
Studios on High Gallery. And also Jackie Mahan, gallery owner of the Mahan Gallery.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate you asking me to do this. It was fun.
It was great to have you. And Walker Evans is walked away, but he was here. He's a blogger and ColumbusUnderground.com founder. Appreciate all of that. Appreciate all the people that made our live remote broadcast possible today. Kevin Petrilla and Eric Frenz for being here last night and helping set up. Or not helping. I actually helped by standing there doing nothing. And my producers, Linda Taylor, my producer, and my associate producer, Amy Jurevich, on the other side of this headphone, and our interns, Brady Callahan and Tyler Adams. Thanks for everyone. Thanks to everybody for being here for our first, very first live remote broadcast. And thanks to the Cup of Joe for letting us join them here this morning for a cup of coffee and a big, long chat. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we're going to let go of you now. If you want to learn more about the Columbus Neighborhoods Project, go to columbusneighborhoods.org. There's a town hall forum coming up on April 22nd at the WOSU studios at COSI. The premiere is tonight at 8 p.m. Go to WOSU television and see Columbus Neighborhoods, The Short North. You'll learn a lot about the area. You'll learn a whole lot about the city and where we all come from. Thanks again for tuning in. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. This is WOSU HD and WOSU Live. Can't you tell? I'm very, very live right now. And
it's fun to watch you right now.
And if you could only see me, I just, you know, you'd be having a lot more fun. But right now, you're just going to have to listen to me babble away. Thanks for being here today. Here it is. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News. Thank you, everybody.